Hey, this is Andre Pettipaw. You are listening to Music's Journey Podcast with my friend, Kim Sia.
You just heard a snippet of the single No Fools, No Fun by rock band Andre Pettipaw and the Giants off their new double live album, Andre Pettipaw's and the Giants Live at the Elmo, that was just released on June 17th. The 22-track album was recorded at the legendary Elmo Combo in Toronto last September and includes tracks from their sophomore album, No Fools, No Fun, and five brand new songs capturing the no-holds-barred kick-ass ethic that the band brings to everything they do. Here to talk about the double live album is frontman Andre Pettipaw from the rock band Andre Pettipaw and the Giants. Hi Andre, how are you?
Hey Kim, I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
Really good. Really good.
Great.
So glad to have you on the show. You guys are
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You guys are so awesome.
I really appreciate that. We're just trying to keep some rock and roll alive and not overproduced and just having fun with it.
Oh, well, that's what you got to do, right? You have to make sure that you're out there having a good time. As long as you're having a good time, the music's going to be great.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing we kind of try to portray. As long as we're having fun, the audience is having fun, and life's that much easier.
Mm-hmm. Makes a difference when you remember that, right? You guys have been doing this long enough that you guys are so full of energy. I know you're an extrovert, and it's just like you got to be when you're front man. You got to have that energy. Man, you guys put on a killer show.
No, it's exactly it. It's go out there and act like it's your last show, and act like it's something that you'll have to do every day the rest of your life. And not forget about the people that started at the beginning with you and make those people that came there for the first time remember it to come to the next show.
Well, they're not going to forget your shows. They don't. None of us do. So you guys are doing it really, really well. You guys just came off a third week, on the road. You guys were playing some gigs. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so we hit the road. We started a tour in the East Coast. We did PEI, New Brunswick. Then we hit Quebec and then went to Ontario. We did dates at in Ottawa. Then we did Toronto for three nights for meetings. And then we went to Bath and recording our next studio album at the Tragically Hip studio. So that was an experience and a half.
That's so cool. I know the band really, really well. And that studio is incredible. What did you think of that when you walked in?
It was literally like 4 days felt like less than 24 hours. It was just good vibes. Like the in-house studio engineer Niles Spencer, he was a whiz and made us feel right at home. And like at the whole experience is staying there as well as tracking there. So we'd start our mornings around 11 o'clock, and we'd get up, everybody be chill, and then when everybody's ready to record, we press record and hang out all day recording music. And at the end of the night, we usually stop around 10 o'clock, go upstairs, shoot some pool, listen to some old records, go across the road and look at the lake. There's a full moon there on the last night, so we sat outside for an hour and just soaked it all in.
Oh, nice. That's really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was great. And then we went to Burlington the day after. Then we played Peterborough. And then we were in Toronto to release the live record. So it was a really great few weeks on the road and just catching up with so many friends, meeting so many new people, and preparing for the next year.
Yeah, I think the last time I seen you was at CMW, Canadian Music Week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's always a fun time.
Well, they always look forward to you coming. And that's, that was my first experience getting to see you guys play live. And that's why I was like, yeah, they got something really special.
No, I appreciate it. It's something like I've been playing since I was 12. And the whole entertainment thing has been something I've liked since I was a kid. I was always into movies, always into voiceovers, anything that's entertainment value. And putting on a performance was my kind of bag since I was a kid.
What about your brother? Same thing?
You know what? He kind of got forced into it. He's more of the introvert type, but he always liked movies and all that stuff. But he was more shy, and he picked up bass a few years after I started learning guitar. And we're 3 years in the difference. He's my younger brother. And when we were six, or he was 16, I would have been 19, I was looking for a bass player. I said, all right, well, just fill in with me for a couple of shows because you can't get into bars, whatever. And lo and behold, about 13 years later, we're still playing in a band together. Yeah, that fill-in turned into many nights sneaking him into the bar to play shows.
Yeah, well, you got to like it. You really have to like this profession because it's not easy being a musician,
right.
Being on the road, especially independent, you know, doing what you've been doing. It's a tough gig. And, you know, it's a grueling, grueling schedule. And there's a lot of hats you got to wear. Right? I think you wear most of those hats, from what I understand.
Yes, I wear a lot of the hats in the band. Like, I'm the band leader, so I do a lot of the talking for the band. I do the bookings, the graphic design, make the events, just a whole bunch of different things, write the grants, update the website, make all that kind of stuff happen behind the scenes. But it's a project that's like, okay, this is my baby. It's if this doesn't go well, I'm going down with the ship. If it does go well, well, I did something right. But I have the best band members in the world, so they make things pretty easy for me.
That's awesome, because as I said, you got to love it. And obviously, being the extrovert, it's a lot easier for you to be more on the creative side that way.
Yes, totally. Mm-hmm. That's the thing about it. I love art, and I love trying to think of new creative ways to get new listeners and keep our consistent fans engaged and, you know, just keep in touch with them. Like, over the pandemic, I did a live stream every Saturday, and just talking to those people that support us over the years was cool. It's literally like going kind of MSN Messenger and just chatting with your friends after the show. I usually stick on for 20 minutes and just say hi to everybody that's been chatting all night.
That's awesome. Because a lot
of human connection is the thing.
Yeah, a lot of people went the other way and stayed off for a long time because they weren't used to working, you know, with social media like that, because it's really changed the landscape of music quite a bit.
It has.
You know?
Yeah, I noticed the Trues have upped their social game like tenfold since the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
They really dug in, and they were like, okay, we got to be creative to get this rolling, and there's some good hometown boys, so they're like, work ethic really, you know, really inspires me, and to see them keeping at it, and they're actually playing with the Black Crowes this week, which is their favorite band. It's super cool. It's cool how much the industry is like connected and all that stuff.
Well, it's amazing when you see, like, I just had Colin on the show, about 3 weeks ago. And it's just amazing to see, like, this album coming out for them. They just get better and better, if that's at all possible.
It's like
but
a
they
fine
do
wine,
it.
Right?
I know. It's like, this album's incredible. It's one of their best ones to me. It's their best one they've released. Yeah. They keep topping it. I don't know how they do it.
I don't know. They're always evolving, and they're not afraid to change their sound slightly or try new methods, which is super cool. Like, those guys are one of my biggest influences and just great guys to talk to if you need a help or if you're worried about something. Or I'll send John Angus a song that I've been working on, ask him for advice, and he's always there to be like, okay, why don't you try this? Or, you know what I mean? It's just...
Well, between Colin and John, like they've done so much work with so many artists over the pandemic and before, before that, but it just gave them time, you know, being off the road and not having to be worried about getting on, you know, and getting their songs out there, their album out there as fast as what they normally do to get back out and do the live performances again. They were able to really take that time and work in production, which, you know, they worked on the one album with you. And I think John did, right? He worked on
John
No Fools,
did.
No Fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like those guys, they're doing, Colin's doing work with the East Pointers, another one of my favorite East Coast bands.
I love them. And they are so good.
Tim is just fantastic. Got to party with the boys at ECMA's.
Oh, nice.
Shoot the breeze with them. Like, they lost Cody a couple months prior. Mm-hmm. And I was just talking to them because it was 6 years ago for me this summer that I lost my drummer, my previous band. So it's just kind of, you know what I mean, connecting with people that have been through the same thing. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important in the music business. A lot of people just kind of swallow that stuff and don't talk about it.
No, they got to. And I think that's why I had Tim on, you know, I think it was just 2 weeks ago, had him on and we talked about it. Like we didn't, we went into enough detail. We went into enough detail on it because I think it's important. I think that is.
It's definitely important.
Yeah. And when I just did a special show last week for another artist, really great up and coming country artist who took his life last year. And it's just, you know, it's something that we have to be aware of. And if we aren't talking about it, then we're not doing the right thing by each other. And I think that we need to be able to use our platforms to be able to bring that knowledge out there, because there's so much that we can do if we work together. And
exactly.
Yeah. And I think that we can.
That's it.
Yeah. I'm really sorry about
just
your bandmate.
Help people from going down a long, dark road. And, you know, you get stuck in your own head for a bit. Like the East Pointers boys could have went a totally different direction. They could have went like depressed and not put any music out. But I think to continue Cody's legacy was super cool. And hearing, hearing their last single with his banjo in the back was like, whoa.
Yeah.
And to me, it was one of their best songs they put out, that hook.
Yeah.
You know, it's just going to continue to keep growing because they have that kind of force behind them to keep the music and want to keep music alive in Cody's memory.
And he would have wanted it that way. He definitely would have wanted it that way.
And that's one of the reasons why I keep doing this thing. It's like Ben was my drummer and playing all these new places, doing all this cool stuff. But like, man, he would have been here and doing it. And every new place, like, all right, he's here with me in spirit. Keep the legacy going.
Yeah, he would absolutely love what you're doing. And he'd be so inspired, you know, about your spirit and your drive.
Sure.
And so proud of you. I guarantee
There's
it.
There's a song on the live record called See You Later that I wrote for him.
We're going to be playing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got seven we're going to be playing today. So we're going to be talking about seven. So amazing. I just thought it was really important that we play as much as we possibly can on the show. And
I like the song selection too. It was a different variation.
Yeah, just to give it a little bit of a different feel
ups
to it.
Downs.
Because you guys have so many different feelings when it comes to what you're trying to express in this album. And it kind of leads into what you got coming. And that's what I really liked about it. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to choose these ones and let's see, you know, what the fans think, because a lot of the fans may not have heard, you know, of you guys yet. We've got international listeners all over the world. So it'd be really cool for them to get a taste of everything that you guys
do. Whole picture. Yeah, no, that's awesome. And that's kind of the direction I was hoping to head with this album. Like, I wanted to give, like, people that have been following us the whole picture, like, with the fan favorites, and then do the last studio album, No Fools, No Fun, top to bottom, and then give five brand new songs to segue kind of the direction we're heading. And just, you know, like you said, that whole picture, that it's not just a one-trick pony, it's the horse that's ready to run free.
Well, you guys are always constantly developing your craft and your checking out new sounds, which you're not afraid to go outside the box. And that's really kind of cool. It's very exciting to see what, you know, that's the same thing as the Trues did. You know,
I think if you stay inside the box, you just don't get inspired and you're just stuck to the same kind of format. That's like what going to these conferences and meeting new artists and collaborating, writing together. It's kind of cool picking hints up along the way.
Well,
I was actually writing with Kate would be John Angus and Colin's sister.
Kate
McMillan.
She's
I was writing
so
with
good.
Her like 2 years ago and picked up a lot of songwriting tricks from her. We just shared tips and wrote a couple great songs together, and then COVID happened, so eventually we're going to release a couple tracks and get back to working with her, because that was an awesome experience too.
It's amazing when you sit down with a writer that, you know, usually you have your pick, right, that you sit with. If you know you got a project you got to get out, And, you know, it's a surefire thing. You sit with those particular writers, but it's also good, you know, to be able to sit with new writers.
And, totally.
Yeah, because there's so many talented writers here in Canada, and it's just incredible, you know, the talent pool that we have to choose from. And there's some amazing, amazing, really strong writers, and she's one of them.
Super cool. Mm-hmm. It's, I don't know, this country really amazes me with all the different artists, and especially with all this vast, it's a huge, huge country, and for touring especially, it's tough. Mm-hmm. But I think people got to utilize what we were saying, that songwriting thing. Go to a new town. You don't have to be gigging every night. Maybe if it's a Monday, it's like take the Monday off, find a local songwriter, write a tune with them, or do a collaboration video. You'll drum up some local listeners, and then next time you come through town, you build your crowd that way. Mm-hmm. That's another part of the creative kind of realm that I'm still developing and still every day just trying to improve on.
It'll be amazing just to see where you guys are in 5 years.
Yeah, I hope so.
Oh, I think so. Yeah, definitely.
I really hope that some big things are on the horizon. I mean, we've got those 13 new songs that'll be out next spring. Mm-hmm. We're just trying to wait and jump on it when it's the right time. Like, we're building our team behind the scenes, and we want to release it right and, you know, have a solid team behind us so that we're not just throwing out songs for no reason. Mm-hmm. We want to have the rhyme and the reason, and we want to have the dates. We want to have the great connections and proper placements. So as the team grows, I think the band will grow.
Well, you really have to think about it strategically, you know, how listeners, the age groups, how they're listening to music now. And that's what the live streaming, we're talking about changing the landscape of music. When we used to listen to, or at least when I did, I would so look forward to buying the album and being able to listen.
Still the same way.
Yeah, like listening to it from, you know, the first song right to the end, because you could really get a feel of what, mm-hmm. you know, the artist is trying to do in that record. And you just catch so much more, and you always look forward to, you always know what the next song's going to be too. And
exactly.
You know, today it just doesn't happen. It drives me crazy.
No.
You know, because you can flip so easily. Yep, I like that song. I like the tempo of that one. And then, you know, the melody of this one. And they sing they know it word for word, but they don't understand
missing
the
booklets, that kind of stuff. Yeah. Like, yeah, I think that's one thing that's definitely missed in today's world, is that kind of whole packaging deal. Mm-hmm. Like, wait, now we didn't release Live at the Elmo on a vinyl. We were initially going to, but the money that it would have cost behind it is like, we don't have that money. If we want to do this for the summer, we want to create the next album, we've got to put mm-hmm. the money towards that. So let's just focus on digital first, and if we build enough steam and get enough funding, we can put out the vinyl later, because it's not going anywhere.
Well, you've got some great mentors that you're working with, mm-hmm. and the Trues are like one of the best. They're successful for a reason, and been successful all
Hard
this
work
time.
And they're not afraid to put the feet down and get walking or running to make their things happen. I think that's a small town kind of vibe.
Exactly. I was going to ask you that, because it's mm-hmm. just the fact that you have an appreciation for what you have in a different way.
Yeah, it's literally like, I work construction as well. So like, I do sheet metal buildings and work on roofs. So mm-hmm. I'm like, there's the term, all right, boys, shoulders down, let's get it done. So it's just kind of, you know, nose to the grindstone and let's get this done. So I kind of took that approach for music mm-hmm. over the years. It's like, some people just back out halfway through the project. Like you were saying, some people just bowed out at the beginning of COVID because they didn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. For me, it was like, okay, here's another challenge. Let's find out how we're going to do it. Not sure how, but we'll find a way. Let's just keep creating. Let's keep connecting. Just stay focused and not let what's happening right now change our view on the future.
Yeah, because you got to keep adapting, and that's the main thing. You guys know how to bring the show, and I'll tell you, there's so many bands that I can think of. The Trues are one of them. There's so many that have really come to, like when they were trying to get on board with so many bands at the time, you know, in their time, that they were a sure deal for any label. Because they mm-hmm. already had the fan base, they already had the live performances, they were locked and loaded and ready to go. You guys are the same. You guys,
I think that's I think that's important. Mm-hmm. It's, and that's the kind of thing now in today's age. Like, we were self-managed for so many years that we're like, okay, we can't be reckless. We got to go out there and literally just be at the top of our game each night. Mm-hmm. We know it looks like it's fun all of the time, but there's a lot of business behind it. And like you said, you got to have that performance. you got to have that get up and go.
Yeah.
And we're ready to hit the road and make some noise.
And that's why Buck Cherry picked you guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Like we had a couple of dates lined up with Buck Cherry, and the pandemic ruined it for us, but mm-hmm. we were stoked. That was a band I grew up listening to. And just moments like that, it's like, okay, I grew up on a road that had 30 people. These people have traveled all over the world. They've, you know what I mean? Did the thing. And it just shows you, it doesn't matter where you're from, it's where you're going and exactly. The work ethic.
And you guys have done some great things too. Now, when we talk about some of the stuff that you've accomplished, right? You were showcased internationally mm-hmm. for Live at Heart. You did that, right?
Yeah, I went to Sweden in 2018. Yeah. That was amazing. That Bangkok. Was kind of how mm-hmm. Bangkok Music City Festival, and then another one in ASEAN Music Festival. And I actually met up with a band from there in Toronto a few weeks ago.
Oh,
a
nice.
Band called Coming Up Roses from
Singapore.
Oh,
I know them. Yeah.
Yeah. So they were there, and we actually got them a show in Peterborough. Like, said, let's pick up a show together. Got to chat with them, and they want us to go to Singapore in the next couple of years. So I think we're gonna head over there.
Wow.
Do a couple of dates, trade off on shows, and that all just started from online networking and just trying to help out some people that are new to the area, but they're good people and they're just looking to play, and it's kind of cool. It's like, okay, we don't know each other that well, but we're both in for the right thing. Mm-hmm. Let's make something work.
Well, hey, you guys are doing it, and you got that creative drive too.
Dive in, figure it out as you go, figure out how you're going to make money to pay for something, worry about it later. Just do the things. Life's way too short not to.
What advice would you give a younger Andre?
Oh, God, don't get so frustrated when things don't work out the way you planned.
Yeah, it's changed a lot, hasn't it? Oh, yeah, we're going to go this way. This is how we're going to do it. Oh, no, we're not. Yeah. No, we're going to go this way.
Yeah, and don't get too worked up. Like you're saying, it's a long road, and it's a lot of no's before you get that yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, you guys were building. You guys were building so much momentum. You were named the Arkells Leather Jacket Cover Contest winners. You were doing the casino in Nova Scotia as well as the Artist in Residence finalist. You did that for 2016-2018. Mm-hmm. Q104 Homegrown Champions out of the 120 bands in 2017. The Jim Beam National Talent Search regional winners as well in Halifax 2019. And then the world stops.
Yeah, like those things were literally everything that, like, that's why I'm like, I can't get down.
That's right.
It's something that's inevitable. It's like, okay, well, we're stopped. What do you do?
Mm-hmm.
You can't get down on yourself. You can't get down on the world around you. All you can do is just keep pushing forward with creative ways and figuring out what works and what doesn't. I actually just did a resume today for the first time in 10 years. There's a cool job opportunity coming up for me that I can work on the road from my computer. So I can't really say what it is yet, but it's like, I just wrote my cover letter. I did a resume. I'm like, this is cool. If I can have this job and be able to pursue music, but not having to worry about the finances right away.
So much better. Yeah.
Options, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think.
Good for you.
And a lot of it had to do with stuff I learned over the years as a musician, like throwing my own concerts, putting on events, graphic design, photography, music videos, production, all of that kind of stuff.
So rolled you and in I one. Are similar.
Right, yeah.
Except I just didn't play live music. That was the only thing you listed there that I don't do.
Well, that's why I had to be into it, because it was all because of that. That
exactly.
kind of stemmed it all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Totally, totally hope you get that. That is pretty cool. Okay, so let's talk about your double live album. And then you guys had recorded this back in September at the legendary El Macambo. Man, I've shot there so many times. What a great venue.
It's super cool. And the work they put into it, it was like a total rebuild. All they had was a skeleton in there.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's a world-class venue. Like, you've got just so many cool memorabilia throughout it. And the sound in there is fantastic. It was designed by Jamie Howison. So he's actually helped with the live album and just a really cool guy. He was one of the head guys for the hit for 30 mm-hmm. years.
Now, you had a lot of help, some pretty special people that were working on this album with you. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So we had, like I was saying, Jamie Howison and Doug McClement. So Doug was one of the original guys at the Alma Combo, and he's worked with Blue Rodeo over the years. He's done, I'm almost positive, he was on the Stevie Ray Vaughan show that was at the Alma Combo. We had our producer, mixer, Brian Monkhurst, so he was there. Our front of house engineers, Chris DeMore, he was there. Then we had Michael Wackerly, the owner, CEO of Alma Combo, and Alicia Hibbert, who's the GM there. She made sure that everything was okay, and the A&R at the time, Andy Curran, was there to help us out. We had just the whole squad ready go fight for us and make sure it would go off without a hitch.
Well, that's what you need, and those are some, you know, you got some great, amazing talent that was helping you on that. Some people that are so well known in this business, and mm-hmm. yeah, it really.
It made our job super easy.
you're going, oh, thank God. I'm going to be doing this double live album. Yeah, that's a pretty spectacular place to do it at the legendary Alma Combo, and then to deliver an album like you have. It's pretty cool.
The second night we played, there was two songs that we didn't play the night before, but I wanted an album that was 22 tracks. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to release it in 2022, 22 songs. And my number I kept seeing was 222 when I was sick. I had a brain virus 6 years ago. And it was just a number that's like, okay, you're on the right path. You're going to be doing good things. And I wanted this live album to kind of be full circle with that moment. And that last night we played, it's like, okay, boys, we're adding these two songs. We can't freak them up because we don't have another tape from the night before. So let's go with it.
So cool. Look at you. You are so creative. 22 tracks. That's a massive undertaking to get that done.
Yeah, we just wanted to give the whole picture of what the band's been up to and what we're going towards in the future. Like, we gave a couple of the crowd favorites. There's songs like Richelieu. That's goes over really well anytime we play live. And we did a song, Long Way From Home. That was our first single we released with Ashley McCosick. And then there's this song called Answers. That was the very first song for the band. I wrote for the band. And then a song called Rubber Arm. That was another crowd favorite. We did a 9-minute and 53-second version of it on the live album.
Oh, wow. And,
yeah, it was one of those moments where you just... All right, here's the extended ending. Let's have some fun, boys. It wasn't rehearsed. It was literally, let's just go to town. And we're recording a live album, but this is a rock and roll show. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about what's happening in recording. If it turns out good, it turns out good. If it turns out bad, then there. We'll see that in the future.
That's, you know what? That is so cool. Because I know I chose, we talked about this before we started the show, songs that I picked that I wanted to talk and showcase, you know, for this particular show. And it's cool to me that you guys released your album, you know, the No Fools, No Fun album. Mm-hmm. You released that during COVID too. And there's all the songs from that sophomore album that you included in this one too, which I'm so glad you did because you got so many great songs on that album.
Oh, I appreciate that. We, that was another one a couple of years in the making and we weren't able to properly tour it. Then last summer, we were given the green light to like, all right, let's go. Let's rip across the Maritimes and let's get out to Ontario and, you know, play these songs live like we intended. And this song, like when we recorded the live album, this was the album we were promoting at the time. So this is what we've been doing for the last few months is playing these songs top to bottom. Mm-hmm. So we're tight with it. And this album ended up getting nominated for Rock Album of the Year at ECMAs, which was super cool for us. It was our first invite to the ECMAs. It was like,
oh, nice. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was our first invite there. Like, because we hadn't released an album since 2016, year after the band was formed. Because we didn't want to just put something out for no reason, you know? We released a couple singles throughout the years, but we wanted something that was, you know, done right and have the right people behind it and timing. Like, we were set, ready to go in 2020. We had dates with Bakhtiari lined up. We had a Cross Canada tour lined up. We had a showcase in Japan, and then boom, pandemic. So we just rolled with it, and finally we were allowed to play the songs, and it was like people were digging them, and it really was a high energy album. We had a couple cool collaborations on. We had Christopher Thorne of the Lem Melon, who is my favorite band of all time. He played slide guitar on Homesick. We had Eddie Ryder from Shawn Mendes' band, and it's some lifelong friends like Jesse Brown and Lee Fleming Smith and Bowden Mulholland featured on it, and another good friend of ours, Gord Stenser, who played harmonica. It was all that, like, you know what I mean? Just a bunch of people that you've met over the years. And I think that's what's important when you're creating an album. It's the whole experience behind it. It makes it that much more exciting in the final package.
Makes it pretty special when you're looking at what you guys have accomplished, who you've met, who you've worked with, who you've done your collaborations with. You know, that says an awful lot about what people think of you, like your
good.
Peers
it
in the business.
Good.
Yeah, that's
totally
100%. Now, when we talk about doing a studio album in comparison to doing a live album, two totally different things.
Yeah.
What was the hardest thing for you?
Just staying close to my mic. You know what I mean? It's just like stay as close as you can to the mic. Sometimes at our live shows, I'll just be running, hitting into one of the boys, give him a body check, kick him, whatever. We're just wrestling on stage, having fun, and then get back halfway through the word or whatever, which is fine when you're doing a live thing, but get back half a second before instead this time. And that was it. That was the hardest part of it all.
Wow.
Because I know the band's going to be fine. I can rely on them guys night in and night out. I'm never worried, which is super cool and super, super blessed to have that. And myself, I'm pretty reliant on my abilities. So I'm like, I'll be on, boys will be on. We're going to have a good time. Just make sure the nerves, you know, calm down. Just do your thing.
Do you get anxious before you go on? You know,
that was the only show ever.
Okay.
That very first night, it just, because you were saying it's different than anything I've done before. It's like, here's live. Don't mess up. Our drummer, Mark, he puked before the show.
Oh, wow.
I was looking for him for 20 minutes. I was like, okay, we need to find him. We got to go on stage in 20 minutes. And he's out back. He's like, dude, I just threw out. My nerves are gone. So that's when we went up top, and Jamie House and Weck came in the room and just calmed the boys down. He's like, boys, just do your thing. Told us a couple stories from the road, and then we went out on stage. Like, didn't matter. It's like, all right, it's showtime. Here we go.
Yeah,
and then the
you
second night
on.
Was super easy.
Yeah.
We actually partied at the Elmo until probably 5:30 in the morning.
Ooh,
the first
not so
night.
Good for the next day.
But the good thing was, is everything was all set up. We
oh,
didn't have
good.
A setup
yeah, that's
day.
True.
It was going. I just picked my guitar up off the stage for the next night. And we did the same thing the next night.
It's the vocals you got to worry about. You got to protect that asset there. I'm telling you, that's one thing you got to really,
That's totally it. I haven't lost my voice, knock on wood, since I was 15 years old. And people come up to me after shows and they're like, okay,
yeah,
how
cause
do you
wail,
how
man.
How can you talk normal?
Yeah.
It's just like kind of that, you know, that 80s powerhouse scream thing. And then I'm like, okay, well, I learned how to do it without hurting my throat. I used to not know how to do that. So in my first band, I was covering songs like Fly By Night by Rush. We were doing Ace of Spades by Motorhead. We were doing all those kind of songs that are way up there.
I'm going to put you on the spot right now.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you can go away from the phone just a little bit, give me one of those notes.
Yeah!
There you go. I was going to say he's going to blow my eardrum out of the board right now.
I took it way back far there. A 5-foot radius.
Oh, thank goodness. My ear might not have recovered.
I might have broke a glass in the room, but that's fine.
You got some chops, I'm telling you. You've got an incredible voice. But it's just that, see, I grew up with rock. That's what I gravitate to. And I just like Bakhtiari, I've always seen them every single time. Every time they've played, I've been out there to see their shows. I'm used to doing Edgefest. That's where I came from.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, that's when I started shooting in the pit, was doing Edge Fest and stuff. So I really miss doing the rock because I don't get to do it as often
as I'd like
to. You
don't see it as much
to.
Anymore.
I know. Yeah. It's not the same. Alexis on Fire, like all these guys are like my faves. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you hear the new album yet?
I know, they're good. Oh, so good.
Stupid good. Stupid good.
I'm so glad they put out another album.
I'm kicking my ass. I didn't go see My Chemical Romance this summer, too. That's another band that's...
It's they like are good
theatrics
too.
And like his vocals are next level. The whole production is fantastic. I'm kind of contemplating hitting up Ottawa next weekend because Rage Against the Machine is playing too.
Oh, you can't miss that. Oh.
So they've been one of my favorites since I was a kid, and it's like probably a 14-hour drive for us to get to Ottawa.
Yeah, that's nothing.
But I do that with my eyes closed, you know? You know, in the Maritimes, which being a really small place, that's like nothing better than seeing big festivals come further than Montreal.
Well, actually playing. You're doing with the Glorious Sons and the Trues, aren't you?
Yeah, we're doing that in New Brunswick, actually, at the end of the month. That's going to be fantastic. I think J.J. Wild's also on that bill.
Oh, wow.
So we get to play this Saturday with them. And
pumped up and ready to go. Just enough rest time for you.
I'm actually wearing a Glorious Sons t-shirt right now that I met them in 2014 at a bar in Edmonton when 60 people were at the show.
Oh, wow. That's the best time.
It's cool seeing them coming up. Like, it was when they just released Mama as a single.
Oh, gosh.
And I remember hearing that and get to party with them a little bit after the show. And next time they were in town at the Marquee, hang out. And, you know, went on the tour bus for a couple of days. And
nice.
Yeah, all that fun stuff.
Well, you're going to be getting back there and being able to kick it with these guys again. We got to talk about some
level.
Music here. Play some songs. Yeah. We haven't played any yet for anybody. All this chatting, I'm telling you. Okay, so we got to talk about, let's do No Fools, No Fun. Let's talk about writing, the writing of that song.
So that turned out to be a song. It was that message, No Fools, No Fun, was something that my dad's best friend used to say. And we'd work our 7-to-5 day job and be like, all right, after work, we're going to have some beers, boys. And some guys would be like, oh, no, I'm tired. He's like, come on, no fools, no fun. Let's just make the best of this. We're living on the road. We're working. And one of the nights we were all in the hotel room drinking, somebody had a cigarette package out and I seen the name Barb Tirebox on it. So I thought that was a fictitious name. And so I wrote this song about this girl who just liked to party all the time. And it was actually a real person that's 42 years old, had lung cancer. I thought it was a fake name because of Tirebox. So that's how that song developed.
Wow. Did not see that coming. I did not see that coming.
The party girl that accidentally kicks over the, you know, the gas can in the garage and someone drops a cigarette. That's kind of what the song is.
So interesting. We are going to play this one right now. Here is No Fools, No Fun, the title track for Andre Petipaw and the Giants here on Music's Journey.
I want at this point in time to welcome onto the stage Andre Petipaw and the Giants.
Oh, God, let's go! Live so fast, not too quick. Smoke two cigarettes, stick after stick. Yeah! She always said, enjoy the journey. Don't worry about where you're going.
That was No Fools, No Fun, the title track, and that is by the rock band Andre Petipas and the Giants, the title track for their second album release that was out in 2021, a track that goes from 0 to 60 in 15 seconds. That's all I can say.
Great song. Hit that crescendo and let it go.
That's right. The only way to say it. Okay, so we're going to hammer in quite a few of these because we've got to make sure that we're getting the songs in that we wanted to get done today. So the writing for Homesick, we talked about it earlier. That was featuring Blind Melon's Christopher Thorne. That was your final release off the sophomore album for No Fools, No Fun album. Talk about that.
So that one, actually, we were out touring in Edmonton, Alberta in 2018, I believe, and it was a Tuesday night. Five people came to our show. So this is your first night on tour, and you're 5,000 kilometers away from home. You think, it's like, wow, is this what I want? And then next night you get on stage, it's like, okay, this was better. This is what I want. It's kind of the battle with being away from your family and just being on the road and going, having all those ups and downs. This is a song that actually wasn't supposed to make it on the album or actually make it out of the Dropbox demos because I didn't show the boys the song. And our drummer found the demo I'd made in the Dropbox folder. He's like, dude, what the hell is this song, man? This is really good. Mm-hmm. And I tried to play it off. I'm like, nah, man, it's just a sad song I wrote one night after a show that, you know, I wasn't feeling too good about myself or too good about the band. But the shows that weren't going great. It's like, no. Okay, we got to bring this to the table. Let's write this. Let's make it happen. So it's kind of the story of
it's a cool song.
Something sad can turn into something good. And we ended up having my favorite band's guitarist on the track, which is like, holy
crap. That's pretty darn special. That must have just been. How did that come about?
So our producer, Brian Monkhurst, met Christopher Thorne in California the year before we recorded the album. They went out for lunch. They were at NAMM Festival, and they had lunch, and Christopher said to Brian that if there's any projects that ever came in that he thinks that would, you know, it'd be cool for him to check out, maybe play on, to send it his way, and if he liked it, he'd play on it. So he sends Homesick to Christopher, and he's like, wow, yeah, I like this track. Really cool. Give me a few days. I'll throw something on it. And we never gave him any notes for it. It's like, okay, just do whatever. We just want some slide guitar. I was literally thinking it was going to be like a little country chorus, you know, a little slide guitar in the chorus. And then he comes in with this fuzzed up trem slide that literally led the chorus. And first time I listened to it, just tears balling down my eyes. I'm like, whoa, okay, wow. This is perfect.
Yeah. So cool, man. It's just such a great song. We're going to play this one right now. Here is Homesick by rock band Andre Pettipaw and the Giants here on Music's Journey.
Sorry in advance for all the mornings roll over and I'm not there. Sorry in advance for all the dates I miss, the good night kiss, the love that seems distant. I feel a bit homesick. Give me something.
That was Homesick by the rock band Andre Pettipaw and the Giants featuring Christopher Thorne of the band Blind Melons in the final single that was released off their sophomore album, No Fools, No Fun album, released out in 2021. Now then, when we got to talk about, well, see, with this, you see why people like that song so much, right? Why I gravitated to that song and why it's Christopher gravitated it. See, being vulnerable works. Yeah. You guys can be on fire and pushing that rock, you know, theme all the time, but it's just nice to switch it up a little bit and give that little bit of variety, right?
Totally. I think that's what connected me at a young age to like a song like 4 a.m. Mm-hmm. Like you can feel his heart breaking with the words he's saying.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. And with your vocals behind a song like that, that's what I'm saying. Like you guys got so much that you can do. It's just insane how far you could go with your vocals in the band.
I appreciate that.
Okay, let's talk about Sympathy Card.
Yeah. So that one, another one that was always one of our favorites to play, but we just found that the way we were playing it wasn't impacting it as it should. So naturally, I send the song to John Angus. I sent him all these tracks from the album, and he's like, let's do Sympathy Card. I want to do something like Led Zeppelin meets CCR with it. And I said, nice. What do you mean? He's like, let's strip it down. We're doing three chords throughout the whole song. And let's put this lead intro lick in half and we'll just connect. It used to be like double the length, that that part. And we kind of brought it back. And actually, when we were recording it in studio, I cut my finger open. So there was blood all over my guitar. And
I had to play that.
We were doing the song the whole day. John Angus just got back from overseas. He was playing for the troops. And he was in the studio with us. He got there at 11 a.m. We worked on the song from 11 a.m. to 2 a.m.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, so that was recording the song. That was just, you know, getting to what we wanted to. That was having everything finished. It was super cool. And it turned out to be our only Billboard charting song. Top 30 in the rock, active rock charts. And that was cool to see your name among people like the Foo Fighters.
Wow.
It's like, whoa, you know what I mean? It's like, okay. It's another thing. It's like, okay, maybe it isn't that far-fetched.
There you go.
Keep writing songs and keep being vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
Be honest with your music. Right?
I know. This is such a cool song. I love this song. We're going to play this one right now. Here is Sympathy Card by Andre Petipa and the Giants here on Music's Journey.
One, two, three, four!
That was Sympathy Card. This is such a cool song by Andre Petipas and the Giants off their sophomore albums, No Fools, No Fun album released in 2021. It is such a cool song. Don't forget you can download any one of these songs and you can get that on all your streaming platforms. You can also share it on your playlist and you can request it at your local rock station as well. Let's talk about another one that did so well for you, and that's Overtime.
Yeah, so it'd be a year ago to the date right now, last week, that this song was featured on the Stanley Cup Finals, Game 4. It led the Montreal Canadiens into their only win of the Stanley Cup Finals. And a song that I wrote about working overtime, just putting in that extra effort. We don't have these big houses. We don't have big fancy cars. We just have each other. And you're all in control of your story. The people around you are, you know, the supporting cast. They keep you going. They keep everything in motion. And this song was like the definition of that once it hit the Stanley Cup Finals for me. A good friend of ours, Brad Mockery, who we met at Nova Scotia Music Week in 2016, I sent him the song. I did up a mock version of what the montage would look like, because I took all the Montreal Canadiens goals and I put it to the music. And he's like, I got a friend that works at Sportsnet and CBC. I'm going to send it to him. And the guy's seen it and he's like, holy crap, this is good. They went the extra mile to actually put it together. If we have a moment through this series, we're going to get it on for them. And I was biting my nails. There was 2 minutes left in the game. The game was tied. The game goes tied, goes into overtime, and here, and I was like, what? We just had our song played. It was super cool. And I've been a Habs fan since I could walk.
Oh, so cool.
And
yeah, those are the games. Those are the games. It's like, well, like I'm out in Toronto, so but like for me, me, I would always go. It had to be the Montreal or Detroit that was playing against Toronto.
Yeah, just the original six lineups. Good.
Yep.
Good hard hockey.
That's right.
And for that video, we went and recorded in Montreal. We recorded the music video for it, and that day we got a grand tour of the Bell Center. So we were in every nook and cranny of the Bell Center. Got to see the dressing rooms. Got to see up in the rafters. We got to see under the ice. It was super cool. The whole another full circle moment of just making kind of things happen.
See, you just have to have that manifest board, and trust me, 100%. With your creativity, you're gonna hit those goals so easily. Just with everything that you do, you just make it happen. And that's what you have to do.
You really have to. I've seen something today. It's like, you don't have to be motivated to make things happen. You got to make things happen to be motivated.
Yes. And
the last few days, it was kind of that thing for me. It's like, okay, I'm not feeling motivated. I don't want to do anything. And then I started doing something. I'm like, man, am I ever motivated to do it all.
Every time.
It's super
weird. You just have to get up and start
doing it. Get up and do it.
Yep.
It's like working out. You miss a day, you're going to miss 40 days.
It is so true.
Hard work. You're coming straight on 3 years.
Yeah. Hard work. And it pays off. And you feel good about it. You feel good about yourself. And, you know, that's half the battle mentally, right? It's just making sure you do something about it. Right. Mm-hmm. We're going to play this one right now. Here is Overtime by Andre Petipaw and the Giants here on Music's Journey.
So, Mark, let me hear what you got on that snare back there, man.
That was Overtime by rock band Andre Petipa and the Giants off their sophomore album No Fools, No Fun, released in 2021. And it was released, it was a single that came out as well for February 2022 because of this game. I love the bridge. I love the bridge.
Super fun.
Yeah.
That was one that literally came naturally. It's like, let's just switch the bridge up from the rest of the song and let's get super sludgy. Let's bring it back to like Black Sabbath and then pick it up to a Foo Fighters feel.
So
you know,
cool.
It's like, and there's cabo in it. I said, Mark, there's got to be a cabo in this bridge. The word that Brian, our producer, would use is slutty. Because it's just, you know what I mean? It's just like, yeah.
Just make
just down
it
and
dirty.
Gritty yep. And, yeah, dirty as can be.
Yep.
Dirty is the slutty, I guess.
Well, every time I hear your vocals, it just like it reminds me of so many of my favorite rock bands. Just that grit that you have, and just being able to deliver that power, just is just yeah. You've got it in spades, my friend. You really do.
I love me some aggression in the vocals, and I love just that whole. All right, see if you can hit it tonight kind of feel.
Well, you better to hit it tonight every time you get out there. That's the problem. You just got to watch those vocals and take care of those vocals. You got to.
I baby them throughout the day. That's the thing for me. It's like I talk in soft voice, and I don't, when I get excited, I don't raise the pitch of my voice. I just raise the excitement a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people, they get way too excited and they start growling with their voice.
Exactly. And then they rip it
and
every single time.
Yeah.
Yeah. They just
no,
shred
that's it.
Yeah.
Oh,
and then
I get a bunch of friends that do that. And it's like, guys, stop talking to that level. It's like, chill it out. You're going to lose your voice and it's not going to be good.
Man. So you can do it without any problem. You don't feel anything different whatsoever if you're doing back-to-back shows like that.
No, back-to-back shows are fine. If I'm on, like, my fifth or sixth night in a row, it depends on which show, what the venue is like. But I can consistently do it for, like, six nights in a row.
Mm-hmm.
With, like, normal shows, if I'm doing, a 3-4-hour show, I'll start to feel it.
Yeah, I would think.
But that's more or less just vocal fatigue.
Oh, for sure.
Protecting in that manner and then just giving the best of what my voice can offer when it's on the stage.
You have to. The notes you can hit, what's the highest note you can hit?
Honestly, I have no idea.
I'm
no
scared.
Idea.
I'm scared. I'm going to back
there's
away.
I'm going to do it right now because I don't want to break anything.
I don't want you to do that. No. I'm going to wait till I see the live show. I want to see that. I'm going to look at you.
It's usually I'll do sometimes. It's like, okay, I'm even going to try it further on myself than I'd normally do.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't found the way where it's like, okay, I shouldn't have went for that because it hurt too much.
Mm-hmm.
Because growing up, I literally just did that in my parents' basement. I never took a singing lesson. It was singing along to my favorite songs.
Wow.
Until I could hit the notes. It was literally just hit it. Oh, you didn't hit it. Rewind it. Try and sing that again. Try and sing that again.
They're probably up there covering their ears going, stop.
They've been so supportive of me. Like, I've had bands in my basement since I was 12 years old.
Oh,
I've had
cool. That's
people
cool.
Staying at their house every other weekend.
But that's what it's like out on the East Coast.
It really is,
it
yeah.
It really is.
I'm super,
yeah.
super fortunate to have family like that. They're like, I'm like, man, my buddy's in town. I might not be there, but they'll be there. Yeah, door will be open for them. Let them know if they're hungry.
That's
cupboards
what it was
are
like
open,
in my
help
house.
Themselves. Right. Our house was always just a dew drop in. You had like friends that were having trouble at their house, they'd come over, stay with us for a few weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's the same with my dad. We had everybody, you know, coming over to our house on Friday nights, but my dad would bring in a lot of people that just didn't want to be at home anymore.
They need that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was open door policy, and I did the same thing. Same thing with my son.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, same with me. It's like, if anybody's ever in trouble, my house is always open. If you need just a spot, not even to talk to anybody, there's an extra bedroom, just gotta get away from your troubles, don't worry about it, you don't have to talk to me, it's here for you.
Nice. Really nice. Very cool. Very proud of you, my friend. Ow. Were you surprised?
Just good people doing good things.
Yeah, we have to. We gotta get back, right? Were you surprised when you saw the songs that I chose?
I was a little bit. I was like, cool. I was like, she actually listened to the songs.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Because like a song like Obstacles is like, okay,
that's
obviously that's a bit different
next.
Than everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Dweeb is my personal favorite from the last 5 years.
They're both so interesting, and I thought, you know what, I gotta show this diversity. Let's talk about obstacles right now. Let's talk about that one.
So I wrote that. I actually wrote it for my wife. She was having a tough time, and just kept trying to reassure her that everything's gonna be okay. Like, keep waking up every morning. You're doing your thing. Things aren't gonna stay this way forever. And it just turned out to be, it was gonna be just a solo Andre Pettipas song. And there's another one that drummer Mark's like, man, let's make it a band song. I was like, I don't know if it'll work for the band. He's like, I can chill out a little bit on the drums for this one. Like, all right, well, maybe we can try it. So we brought it to the band, and John's like, okay, I'm gonna write a cool slide part for it. And brother Travis, he's always an ace when it comes to bass parts. He's not just playing the fifths, he's, you know, he's like a Paul McCartney style bass player that's just filling in all the other space. It's like, I don't want to play the same thing as you. I'm like, that's cool as hell, because I'm doing something different. We're all doing something different throughout the song, but locking up throughout it in a way that makes it cohesive. And there's vocal parts in it where me and Travis are harmonizing off each other.
Something really different. Yeah, it was like, that's why I picked it. I thought, this is such a cool song. I like the lyrics behind it as well. I like the story behind it. So it is really cool. We're going to play this one right now. Here is Obstacles by rock band Andre Pettipas and the Giants here on Music's Journey.
Sad as I'm listening and hopes diminishing, it's worth accomplishing, just trust your instincts steadily. You're not the first to blink, stare a whole eye through. The obstacles in your way, getting out of bed every single day. The obstacles in your way, you're feeling number, you're my number one. Sweetness comes with a sting. My been known to spread our wings so high and visible, so close to counting. Obstacles in your way, getting out of bed every single. Over me.
That was Obstacles by rock band Andre Petipa and the Giants off their double live album, Andre Petipa and the Giants Live at the Elmo. And that is available everywhere right now on all your streaming platforms. Such a cool song. It's interesting just to see where you guys went, you know, in these choices as well, too. Let's talk about Definition of a Dweeb. I really like this song.
So this is like a tongue-in-cheek song. It's about not taking yourself so seriously. Mm-hmm. And I wrote it about a time where I accidentally shaved my head bald. It was grade 9.
Hang on, because you know I'm going to stop you there, because you know that I got half the female, you know, fans that are texting me and saying, okay, we got to ask him what he does with his hair. How does he get it so full? We love his hair. I just want to run my fingers through his hair. You've heard it all. I'm sure you have. I got a lot of that today. They're going to be so sad to hear you did that. They're going to say, don't ever do that again. You tell them.
It was grade 9, and I was trying to give myself a mohawk, because a lot of people don't know I'm athlete as well. So I played every sport growing up, and I was going to soccer provincials, and the rest of the team was doing mohawk. So I gave myself a mohawk and had a straggle of hair like close to the front of it. I said, okay, well, the guard's still on. I'm going to cut it. Little did I know, bass player brother Travis went and took the guard off. So went for a little trim and boom, shaved a spot right up. So the chorus is my high school hairdo. All I wanted was a buzz. And the last thing was I got cut too. So I took that and I just wrote a song about adolescence and just kind of the emotional stuff you feel when you're in high school, just ups and downs, getting cut from sports teams, not feeling like you're enough. And just kind of packaged it in a fun song of just don't forget about it. Don't take yourself too seriously and just go through the motions.
And you can apply that to any part in your life right now. And
100%.
Absolutely.
And live, when we do that song, there's a bass breakdown. So I'll literally just go dance in the crowd until I come back to do my little talking heads psycho killer kind of spiel.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Like, I played all sports too, so I can relate. That's all I did.
It seems like we lived pretty well the same life.
Yeah, kind of, just in different places. I was in Toronto and you're on the East Coast.
Exactly. So, the creatives have been through a lot.
My son played, well, he played AAA hockey, but he also used to flag for me. Because I played soccer all the time, and then he got into the soccer too. So yeah, we both
soccer
played.
Was one of my favorite sports. Yeah,
football was the other one I did too. In track,
we didn't have football in our area.
No.
No. It was like an hour away. Yeah,
that's true. Everything's
crappy.
Quite
like I did a lot of racket sports as well as basketball and soccer and hockey and. Baseball was another big one.
Yeah, baseball and volleyball I did in the All-Ontario. Volleyball as well, hockey. Yeah. I did a lot of field hockey, too.
Yeah, we didn't have field hockey either.
Hmm. Wow.
But volleyball was a big one in our school.
Mm-hmm. I loved it. I just love sports, so I'm glad I did it.
I miss sports. That's one thing that I say every day. I'm like, I can't go play a baseball tournament on the weekend. It's been years. I used to do it every weekend. I lived in Cape Breton, would go. Every Wednesday there was volleyball, so...
There you go. Oh, we're going to play this song right now. Here is Definition of a Dweeb by rock band Andre Petipa and the Giants off their new album.
That's me.
That's right. Petipa and the Giants live at the Elmo here on Music's Journey.
Now vacant in your shaking. Hear the lightning disappears in a split second. Come and go, y'all come on.
That was the definition of a dweeb on the from the East Coast rock band Andre Petipaw and the Giants off their new album, Andre Petipaw and the Giants Live at the Elmo. I love this song. I'll never get sick of playing it. It's just such a great, great song.
We recorded that a couple weeks ago for the next album. That's going to be the lead single off of it.
Oh, cool.
So we've got some cool extras that are going to be added from the live version. There's some more tongue-in-cheek stuff that make the song even more quirky and fun.
Oh, I can't wait to hear it. You're going to have to send that one to me.
Yeah, once we finish it up, I'll give you the early peek. And it's we're going to be finishing tracking in November. We got Brian coming down to record at a studio in Pictou County. Our drummer is actually the engineer at the studio. So
nice. We're
going to be recording there. We're super stoked for it.
Ooh, I would be too. Really, really cool. See, I'm
this
picking
will be
out,
Brian's
I'm
first time.
Out. Picking out some good ones, aren't I? Very good.
Yeah, and okay. I was super impressed when Jamie messaged me. She's like, okay, these are the songs that are going to be played. I was like, okay, nice one. Because you never know, some people just talk to you and they were like, I was on a podcast last year and buddy was like, oh, I never even listened to your stuff. I'm like,
what?
All right, so you didn't even do minimal homework, like not even a song?
Really?
Wow. Yeah, and you know what I mean? The conversation just kind of was stale.
Mm. Yeah, see, not cool. You know,
it doesn't
cool.
happen often.
No.
But when it does happen, it's like, all right. Oops, my phone died. Oh, oh, what's that?
Can't hear you. So sorry we lost connection.
Pee Wee Herman did that. You're breaking up.
All the movies that you must watch.
Oh, that's...
What's your favorite movie of all time?
Dumb and Dumber's up there. Pee Wee's Big Adventure. And Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh, very cool. Do you have a favorite series?
The Simpsons, for sure.
Really? Very cool.
Yeah. That's on every night at 5 o'clock. As soon as I got home from school, it'd be eat your craft dinner, you know, go play some soccer out in the yard, and then watch The Simpsons.
Very cool. Very cool.
And now it's much the same. You get home from the show, throw on The Simpsons, and have a beer.
See, it makes you laugh, right? You can chill out and just not think about anything. Yeah, see, Mine's Yellowstone.
That's a lot of my friends have been watching that, and I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, what?
I'll have to check it out. Yeah. See, I don't watch a lot of TV anymore.
Got to watch this one. You got to watch
it. I do.
This
I
one.
Know. My friends have been bugging me, so I'm probably going to have to put that on this week.
I know Stranger Things is just like the top of the list for so many people. I still haven't, I've only got to episode 4, so I don't want anybody telling me anything.
No, I actually just watched The Goonies last night for the first time in like 10 years. So
that's
Stranger Things is relevant in that.
Yeah, there you go.
Does any of those, you know, make you feel like you're a kid again and just nostalgic?
You need it.
People are just trying to chase that high you had as a kid.
Yeah.
When you weren't high.
Oh. See? And you're going to be
natural high.
See, how old are you now?
I'm 30.
30. So, So you watch when you hit 45, you're going to be holding
I'll be
on.
Chasing the high even more.
That's right. I love different movies for different reasons.
Yeah.
And same thing as I like different music, you know, depending on what, you know, you always can remember
mood
where you
in.
Were. You know, when you're listening to a certain song.
Exactly.
Yeah. So this is why I love See You Later. This one is the one that I picked out. I wanted to end the show with because it is such a really cool song. Tell us about the writing of this one.
So I wrote that song an hour after I heard the news that my best friend had got in a motorbike accident. Yeah. I was at my folks' house and I got a call at 4 a.m. I pressed ignore because I was like, who's calling me at 4 a.m. and I got another call to the hour every hour, and then got to answer the phone. It was Ben's father. He told me the news and I couldn't talk for an hour. I went downstairs to my parents' house and just put the pen to the paper and wrote the song. Didn't have music for it yet, just wrote down everything that was there. And my old band was called The Odd Bit, so the chorus says, it's a bit odd, we'll never see these days again. The last song that we recorded together was called These Days. So there's just interlaced lyrics from our band throughout the song.
Wow.
And I just tried to capture his personality, just the fun-loving character he was. He was a motorbiker, and he was just the biggest free spirit and the, one of the funniest dudes ever. So obviously emotion shows on the track.
Mm-hmm.
And is a song that, like I said, it's been written for 6 years, and I never wanted to put it on anything unless it was done right. And the first time to put it with the public, it was like, let's do it live. I want to tell the story at the Alma Combo and then go into the song. And that's what it was. It was just like, here's the raw emotion. Let's go. Benny will be here. I looked down right after the song. On the live album, you can hear probably 30 seconds later, it's like, whoa, I found my dime. So I always find dimes from Ben, and found it literally 30 seconds after I played the song on the stage.
Oh, that is so amazing. That must have just sent chills up your spine.
Yeah, I was like, all right, okay. that was good, boys. Let's keep this night going for him. And like I was saying earlier, we partied till 4:30, 5 o'clock. Felt like crap the next day. We drank a bunch of Jim Beam. That was mine and Ben's drink of choice. And there was actually a Jim Beam rep in the room who came up with shots after the show for me right away. He's like, dude, that was fantastic. Let's have a shot. I'm like, what are you drinking? Jim Beam. I said, well, that's super strange. Let's do it. That turned into a couple more shots.
See,
the rest of the night is a little bit blurry, but yeah. I know it was fantastic.
That
fantastic
is awesome. That's an amazing story, and I just really wanted to show that side of you guys because I thought this was a brilliant song, really, really great song. We're gonna play this one right now. Here's "See You Later" by the rock band Andre Petipa and the Giants.
I'm gonna play a song called "See You Later."
Andre Petipa and the Giants at the Elmo that is out right now. So don't forget, you can download the album and add it to all of your playlists and request it at your local radio station. This is such a great, great song. We wanted to end this show with that. We're going to ask a few questions, if that's okay for you. This is the burning questions that we add at the end of the show. Favorite song of all time?
Change by Blind Melon.
Ooh, that was quick. There we go. Oh, yeah, because that's a good song. Ooh, that's
when I was
song.
16, I got it tattooed on my forearm. There's lyrics. I want to write my words on the face of today, and then they'll paint it. So
Fair,
I've always
cool.
wanted to be a songwriter, singer, and that's stuck with me. I look at it every day, and having that moment with Chris playing on her album, I was like, all right, cool. I picked this song for a reason.
See, things are manifest, right? So you just never know why things happen. Okay, the last album that you listened to from front to back?
Let me think. Because I've been listening to a lot of release radar to try and figure out new music. But I'd have to say it would have been Tom Petty's Full Moon Fever I had
on
the other day.
Oh, very cool.
Either that or it would have been the Slim Shady LP.
Very cool.
I'm not sure which one I listened to first. I've got a 2002 Firebird that only has a CD player in it.
Nice.
It has the T-tops off, cruising, listening to the CDs that were in the car.
Very cool. All right. That's really cool. What is the draw for you when you look at the reasons why you started pursuing music, the reasons why you wanted to pursue music, and the reasons why you still want to keep pursuing music?
Human connection. Honestly, for me, it's just during a show, if I see someone light up in the crowd or if I see the good energy being tossed back and forth, I'm kind of like that Robin Williams character. I just want to see people having a good time and people having fun and forgetting about the everyday bullshit that they have to worry about and just letting loose. And that's the stage for me. It's a playground. And if I can have that as a job, that's, you know what I mean? My life is 100% there.
Nice. Nice. Good answer. What is the favorite song on radio today? Any artist, any genre?
Current song on the radio. One second, I'm going to look at my playlist to see what...
You're cheating.
That's a tough one. I heard a song the other day by, I don't know if it's pronounced Ro Joaquin or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's he's a rapper out of Toronto, and I heard it on a station. And he had Matt Mays featured on it. And
Okay.
It's a really cool song. It was kind of like...
I've heard about it. I haven't heard it yet.
If before that, my favorite song would have been Mood. Why you always in a mood? That's
nice.
That song has been the best song in the last 5 years to come out, in my opinion.
Very, very cool. Favorite?
Go ahead. No, just super cool vibe to the whole song.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Favorite moment on stage so far?
Favorite moment was just the live show at the Elmo. Doing that with my best buds, realizing that we're playing here, and... that we're going to have these recordings soon. It was just a long journey to get there, and that was definitely my favorite so far of the career.
Very cool. I figured that would probably be the one for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so my favorite question of all. So your best, most useless talent?
I can belch on command.
Okay, go for it. You know I'm going to call you out. Go for it.
I can't stop laughing, though. I can't stop, do it with a smiley face.
Oh, yes, you can.
I haven't done it in like 5 years. One sec. Let me see if I can do it. No, I can't do it anymore.
Come on.
I lost it.
No.
I lost it.
I'm going
to
make you practice.
I used to do that as a kid, and that would be my, like, you know what I mean? You're just belting, or you're doing the armpit farts, which every kid has to do at least once in their life. So that's a thing I guess you lose once you hit 30. I've never tried it since.
Your wife's going, oh, thank God.
Childhood revoked.
What is the one quirk that your band members would say that you have?
Oh, man. Just being a punster.
Oh, okay.
I've got a master's degree in punography. Yeah, I'm always just making word jokes and play on words, and I've actually got the boys into it, so we're always just trying to have clever names and clever things for stuff that's happening, and it's something that's a blessing and a curse.
Well, it's always, every single time I go do a show, everybody keeps telling me that I need to do a pun show.
Yes. Right?
Just do an hour pun show and just have a bunch of the different artists on there and you guys play off
punishments.
Of each other. Yeah.
Sign me up whenever you do it.
Okay. We'll do it. We'll do it. I know I keep putting it off. I got to do it. We'll do it after the summer.
Yeah. Into it.
There we go.
Sounds Halloween.
He's going to be thinking of all of his puns.
I'll have like a master list, encyclopedia of puns.
See, that's what you're doing on your spare time now. He's going to be getting on top of everybody else's game.
You've been punderstruck?
Yeah, you've been. Oh, no. Oh, what did I sign up for? Okay.
You created a monster. I'm sorry.
Yeah, see, I said I was going to do it. I got to do it. All right. Okay, so what shows do you got coming for the rest of the summer? I know you got quite a few around the corner. We were talking about the end of August with the Trues and the Glorious Sons. What else do you got?
So we've got a weekend in Cape Breton. We're doing four shows in a row there. And then we've got a festival in Porter's Lake just outside of Halifax called Trunk 7 Music Festival. And we're hitting Steinhardt Distillery, a beautiful amphitheater style thing they've just built this summer. It's right over the ocean in Arisag. And we've got Boxing Rock in Shelburne. We've got Frankenstein Brewing, where we released a homestead beer. We've got that Area 506 we were talking about, and a number of other cool breweries, which are my favorite places to play, because it's always cool people working there, and the crowds are always cool, and like the music. And then we're going to be heading back to Toronto in September.
Oh, nice. Very cool.
Yeah, so we're going to meet up there with some of the team and figure out what's up for the rest of the year.
Oh, sounds really good. Well, I've got some stuff that's in the works, and I'll know towards fall, you know, what's going to be happening for sure. But I'll keep you in mind. Definitely.
That'd be sick.
Yeah.
Yeah, really. Definitely keep us on the lockdown.
Mm-hmm, 100%. So it was wonderful to have you on. Now, do you have any idea about the other album? Because you guys have been in recording, getting that done too. So you got this one out now, but you also have another one coming.
Yeah, so we have all the beds done for that album, and we're going to be finished recording it in November and put the team together, think of the best release strategy, and plan for spring 2023 for 13 new songs.
Wow. Amazing. You guys are incredible, and I love your voice. Huge fan, and you just keep killing it out there. You guys are just doing amazing. And for what you're doing, you know, holding that hat and being able to, you know, keep the band going exactly where you need it to go and all of your dreams, you are just starting. I'm telling you, you've got so much talent, and you guys, doors wide open for you.
Yeah, that's the hope, and as long as they can keep that mentality and not get too down on yourself when things aren't bad, I think.
Text me. That's what everybody keeps saying.
Appreciate
it. I just seem to be able to bump people up real quick, so I'll remind you how good you are.
No, that's really good, and musicians need that because we're our own worst enemy.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll remind you.
I love it.
Okay. Say hi to the guys for us, and really appreciate you coming on the show. We look forward to having you back, and you're going to send me, you know, that sneak peek.
100%. Once that's finished up, you'll get the whole album.
Perfect. Really look forward to it. It's been a pleasure, my friend.
Thanks a million. We'll chat with you soon.
Okay. Sounds good.
Have a good evening.
Okay. You too. All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.
A great big thank you to my very special guest, frontman Andre Petipa off the rock band Andre Petipa and the Giants for coming on the show. I've got some amazing artists that are going to be coming up that I'll be interviewing for the month of July. I'll be chatting with Kelly Prescott, Nice Horse, Tyler Joe Miller, Sean Austin, Ali Walker, Katie Hurt, Emma Peterson, Quinton Blair, Matt Rogers, Australian country artist Haley Jensen, Emerson Drive, Gil Grand, Simone Miller, Dustin Bird, Kadu, Michelle Wright, Anthony Tulo, Jay Walker, and so many more. Smoke and Ashes, forgot about them. Don't forget, you can catch all my shows that you don't want to miss at musicsjourney.com. You can also check out all the articles, new releases, new videos, and reviews at nowandthenmagazine.com. Well, that's it for me, your host, Kim Sear. Thank you so much for tuning in to Music's Journey, and have yourselves a wonderful day. I will catch you here next time on Music's Journey.